Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, please tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to the Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord.
Lord Jesus, you are the risen one. You are the resurrection, and it's such a joy to be here today to celebrate that risenness. We thank you so much for the Easter story and for the way you overcome even the sting of death. We pray now that you pour out your Spirit upon me, that I may speak in the strength of the Spirit, in the power of the risen Christ, and to the glory of God the Father. Amen. It is so good to be here with you and celebrating this great feast day. And it's just brilliant to hear the band just letting rip. It's the day to do it, isn't it? Of all days, you're doing fantastic. Daniel, what a stunning reading you've given us. Thank you very much for that. And it's lovely to see this place full of life and liveliness. I wonder if I was just to ask you a question. What do you think is the hardest job or would have been the hardest job in the world? What would you come up with? The hardest job ever, ever. I know it was really hard doing the hop, skip and a jump that David was doing with you just now, and I think you did pretty jolly well, actually. But what do you think is the hardest job in the world? Shall I tell you? The hardest job is being a Roman soldier and being told your job is to guard the body of Jesus on the night before he is resurrected. I mean, that is, in the big scheme of things, that has to be the hardest job that anyone has been given, don't you think? Can you imagine? I want you to try and stir your imagination here. And I know it's early. I know the clocks have done things they shouldn't have been doing. But just spare a thought for those people who are celebrating the resurrection at 8 o'clock and those who had to travel an hour to be there. So I want you to imagine, all right, you're a Roman soldier And your sergeant major comes in and says, right, you, you're going to guard a dead body. And they're thinking, oh, whoopee-doo. It's a great big festival out there. They're all celebrating the Passover. And we've got some really good vino from Rome. And my job is to guard a dead body. Great. Thanks a lot. Can you imagine it? I used to, and my dad was in the army. And so I kind of know what it's like to be on a garrison and to be surrounded by soldiers. I know what it's like. And so you can imagine these soldiers thinking, oh, for heaven's sake, what a dull old night this is going to be. And you can imagine them playing the equivalent of solitaire in the sand with their marbles. I'm thinking we must have done something really bad to have warranted this awful job. And then what would have happened to them next was literally unspeakable. Because, and I want you to try and imagine, you're that soldier, you're that Roman soldier. I want you to try to imagine you telling the colonel the next day what's happened. And it will go something like this. The colonel's sitting there looking really cross, saying, you had one job, to guard a dead body. That was your job, and he's gone. Explain yourself. And these soldiers would say, well, it happened a bit like this. We were just sitting on the rock by the tomb, and the tomb was sealed. And the colonel's going, yes. And then these two kind of blokes appeared, but they weren't blokes, and they were angels. Right, says the CO, right. And well, what did they look like? Well, they were kind of white, but they weren't white. They were kind of dazzly, and it was a bit blinding. What did you do? Well, we couldn't do anything because we kind of felt paralyzed at that moment. So who had the weapons? Well, we had the weapons. You can kind of imagine it, can't you? I tell you what, I bet they were in deep trouble, don't you? They lost the body. But their job was impossible because what... And here's something that's really interesting. The Pharisees and the religious people of the day, they had a fear something strange was going to happen. That's why they insisted that the body was guarded. It was they who went to Pilate and said, look, there's this rumor that the body is going to rise. And so what's going to happen is someone's going to come in, they're going to nick the body, and then they're going to say, see, how's that? So if you could guard the body, then we can quell any rumor starting. But what they didn't realize is that it wasn't a rumor. It was a true story. And the poor guards didn't stand a chance because Jesus is the resurrection. It's the most amazing story. The funny thing in all of this is that the Pharisees had an inkling something could happen, which is why they got the Roman guards in place. But what about the followers of Jesus? Jesus had told people time and time and time again. It wasn't a secret. He was saying, I am the resurrection. In fact, it's Mary Magdala who says, you are the resurrection. She says it. They've been hearing it so many times. Destroy this temple, destroy this temple. And 3 days later, I'll rebuild it. He spoke so many times that the Sadducees and the Pharisees tried to trip him up. Because one believed, the Sadducees didn't believe. That's why they're Sadducee. You know that, don't you? They didn't believe. And so they used to cause infights with the Pharisees. And it was like throwing a cat among the pigeons. Jesus, is the resurrection real? And he's saying, you're looking at it. He wasn't quite as brass as that, was he? But that was the gist of it. Sometimes you can't see the truth that's staring you in the face. Now, I wonder how many of you, it's lovely to see so many of you here when you could be doing so many other things. And I wonder how many of you have had one of these today. Have you had one? Have you eaten one? Put your hands up if you've eaten one already. Oh, I'm really impressed. I tried, but someone got there first. Right, I need someone to help me who's really strong. Really, really strong. I think this is probably a good call here. Will you just hold that? Don't let it go. What I love about this egg, this is my favorite egg. There's nothing in it. Now, when I was little, I used to want something in my egg. I used to feel I was robbed if there was nothing in my egg. In fact, when I was little, you could get a box of milk tray inside your egg, and they were the best eggs ever, ever, as far as I was concerned, when I was little. But that was before I was a Christian. As a Christian, I love this egg. And can you just about see it? It's got a pattern around it where it's been molded. And it looks a bit like a stone. Do you see? Like stones that are brought together. This egg's got nothing in it. Because we don't just have Easter eggs because it's what Cadbury's and Rountree's and whomever tell us that's what we've got to be doing on Sunday. I'm sure lots of people listen to that message. There's a better message than that. The reason this is empty is because it reminds us of the empty tomb, doesn't it? Yes, Beverly. It reminds us of the empty tomb, doesn't it? It does. Because Jesus was only there for a short time, wasn't he? Yes, Beverly. Because what happened to him 3 days later? Rose from the dead. And what he did is he smashed the tomb. He smashed it. We talk about Andy Murray smashing things, don't we? More than the game sometimes. That's not smashing, that's a smashing. Jesus smashes the tomb. And because of that act of smashing the tomb, do you know, in a way, it does matter what happens to us in this lifetime, doesn't it? It does matter. But we've always got that hope, that joy, that profound truth. And people can hurt us, and people do. And things can harm us, and things do. But there is an extraordinary truth. And that is because of that one act in human history, God breaking into human history and smashing even death, that we have the gift of eternal life. And that is an amazing gift, isn't it? And what I don't get is when I go into churches, and as an archdeacon, I go into too many churches. I've got someone said to me, "Where's your church?" And I rather boasted a bit and said, "I've got 220. In actual fact, wherever there's a place, Christians have a home, don't we? And we've got family. And so actually, between us, we've got zillions of churches. Or we could just say, we've got one church. We could say that, couldn't we? Because we're all united by one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. But this is our hope. And so when we hear these shocking stories, and they are shocking, of things happening to Christians throughout this world, and when we hear shocking things happening in Belgium and Paris and Iraq and Syria, and it can feel like the darkness is having the last word, it's not true, is it? Because the light is in the world, and nothing can overcome the light. And whilst it can feel like it can, this is the truth. The grave is smashed. And there is a song, and some of you all know this song very well, and I was saying earlier, it's a bit of a Marmite song. Some people love it and some people hate it, and I'm one that loves it, and it goes like this. They cut me down, but I leapt up high. For I am the light that will never
ever die. And I will live in you if you live in me. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And isn't that our hope? And isn't that what we celebrate today? So when you smash open your egg today, do so remembering it's empty because Christ is risen. And we say he is risen indeed. Alleluia. And this is the day of alleluias. So may alleluias ring from your lips all day long. May you find one person at least to tell the story of the empty Easter egg. When you see them, say, it's empty, you know, because Jesus isn't in the tomb, he's risen. Alleluia. Will you do that? And they might think you are barking mad. But are you? Are you? When you own, some of you are saying, yeah, you are. When you hold that truth, when you taste that truth, Jesus said, when people tried to silence others for ringing out hosannas, praise the Lord, and holy men said, stop them from doing it. And he said, I could, but if I did, those stones would start crying out. And if we don't do it, my friends, the stones will. Sing out your hallelujahs. Let your voice be heard. Let people know why you've given up your Sunday morning to be here today. Ring out the praises. Praise the Lord, for Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Do you want some chocolate? No one wants my chocolate. You want my chocolate. Do you want to pass it around? See how long you can, how far you can get with it. Thanks.